If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
On X at Rich Zeoli. Markets are having a good day. They're in the red now. They've been green most of the day. A little Dow's down now. But we did not get the historic crash that Jim Cramer warned about last Friday. And the reason for that is I believe the market's holding strong, even though it's down now. And it may go back to green. It may go back to red. But we're not seeing a crash is because they believe, they're optimistic that these trade deals are going to start happening. And I think it would be very wise of the president to start announcing some deals, that they've reached some deals, take some wins here, take some victory laps, and end trade barriers and come out and start making those announcements. And I think you're going to see the market rally in a big, big way. I really do. Japan is up to negotiate. Japan's up to negotiate. Good. All right. Let's do this. Elon Musk wants to have a tariff-free trade zone between the U.S. and the EU. I'm all for that. Let's do that. Let's make that happen. Elon and Peter Navarro are butting heads. Caroline Leavitt was asked about that today at the White House press briefing. She said, it's boys being boys. But the key is you're hearing this play out. This is the most transparent administration, and they're allowed to offer different opinions, and then the president will ultimately make up his mind. Which is also why I want to say to those people that are just going after Rand Paul, please stop that. Rand Paul is one of the most principled guys out there. He vehemently disagrees with the president on tariffs. But Rand Paul has been a stalwart leader in fighting for America and the Constitution and liberty and ending the war in Ukraine and getting America out of these endless wars. He does not agree with this, but that's fine. He's entitled to his opinion. What I can't stand, though, is people now want to trash this guy when he's been one of the biggest defenders of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. He's principled. We need more guys like Rand Paul, not less. We need more. And President Trump, he can handle it. He can handle it. And Rand Paul can handle the names that Donald Trump calls him. They're all big boys here. They're all grown men. But the bottom line is this. Elon is out there disagreeing with the trade policies that Peter Navarro is advocating. We're not all going after Elon and saying Elon should be removed and decapitated. So don't do it about Rand Paul either. He's a principled guy. Amy Coney Barrett, though, is not a principled guy. Well, she's not a guy, but you know what I mean. I don't know what her deal is. I can't figure this out. Although the good news at the start of the show today is that the Supreme Court has handed the president another victory, this time on his ability to fire federal workers. That's good. The Supreme Court siding with him on that. The big news yesterday actually came as I got off the air last night, which is that the Supreme Court sided with the president on the Alien and Enemies Act and his ability to deport. Now, it's important to know that this is going to go back down to the lower courts. Both of these issues will go down to the lower courts. But for the time being, the president is allowed to move forward under the auspices of both the Alien Enemies Act when it comes to deportations and also his ability to fire people in the executive branch of government. This is good. And it affirms what I've been saying, which is the president is wise to go through the legal process, to go through the courts, to keep appealing, because ultimately he's going to be victorious at the Supreme Court. And there are some people out there who say the opposite. They say, ignore these judges and do whatever you want. But trust me on this, you don't want that to happen. There is a way to rein in these judges, and they do need to be reined in. But the way to do it is to go through the appeals process, win at the Supreme Court, and highlight how these judges are all politically motivated, biased, and wrong, and then let Congress handle it by removing some of these district courts and derobing these people, not literally, but, you know, from a metaphorical standpoint, derobing these people. Is we have far too many federal judges, and then you keep doing this, and the Supreme Court has to deal with, and Congress has to deal with the fact that these U.S. District Court judges, and you even have some liberals on the court, like Ketanji Brown Jackson, are now expressing a lot of concern about the ability of district court judges to make nationwide injunctions. So the more that these judges do this, the more we're highlighting the out-of-control judiciary, and the more you're even getting people like Ketanji Brown Jackson to turn around and say, I don't know what's going on here, but this is not good. And I really have to question whether or not a district court judge who has a district is able to make a nationwide ruling that applies to the entire country in a nationwide injunction. Two big wins before the Supreme Court. Amy Coney Barrett was on the side of the majority in the opinion today regarding the reinstatement of, or excuse me, the firing of the federal workers. But she was on the wrong side of the issue yesterday. I can't figure this out. I really can't. I even heard Jonathan Turley this morning on America's Newsroom. He can't figure it out either. I don't know what her deal is. She was wrong on that free speech case, too. And she can't just keep hiding behind, well, it's a procedural thing and blah, blah, blah. No. Stop. So I don't get it. I don't know what her problem is. I know what John Roberts' problem is. And Kavanaugh has been a pleasant surprise because I was nervous about him. I really was. I was nervous that Kavanaugh was going to be another Roberts. But so far, Kavanaugh has impressed me. I haven't agreed with every ruling, but he's impressed me. He really has. So that's good. That's the good news. Caroline Leavitt wrapped up the White House press briefing a short time ago. I watched the entire thing for you. We have some audio coming out. But my favorite clip of the day is a stammering Joe Scarborough as the markets were rebounding this morning. Look, the markets are going to go up and down, but the key is that we're not seeing the 1987 crash that Jim Cramer predicted the other day. And I think that that's really what everybody needs to understand, is that nobody, and I mean nobody, thinks that a market crash is a good thing. But we're far from that. And yeah, the markets are going to go down. They're going to go up. They're going to go down. But not in the way that means that we're going to have an economic collapse. And I think the reason for that is because these companies and the traders on Wall Street are seeing the president and his people like Scott Bessent out there talking about making deals happen. So I want more Scott Bessent in the news and less Peter Navarro, because every time Navarro speaks, he spooks the markets. And Bessent goes out there and he calms the markets. He's like the market whisperer, the Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. He goes out there and he says things and the markets go, ah, a sigh of relief. We're going to negotiate with Japan. We're going to make these things happen. We're going to have trade deals that result in freer, fairer trade for everybody. Great. See, the key is ending barriers to trade, so that the people, the shrimp people, can sell their shrimp, and that the beef people, the dairy people, the farmers can sell their products overseas in these markets that have barriers to trade. Those barriers to trade go away, then everybody wins. And then the result is freer, fairer trade. And then everybody wins. That's what needs to happen. That's what my hope is, that it will happen. Trump's got to talk tough, though. You know, he's got to go out there and he's got to say that he's not backing down on this, because if these companies think that he's BSing or bluffing, then these countries then are not going to make deals, because they're going to think he's just talking. He's just bluffing. So yeah, you gotta act like, oh no, there's no room to negotiate. Because in some ways you might be hearing mixed messages. In some cases you're hearing them say, this is it, this is the policy. And then you're also hearing other people say, these countries are coming to negotiate with the United States of America. So I think what it means is this is the policy, unless you can make a good deal with the U.S. If you can make a good deal with the U.S., then it's not the policy. But if you can't, then this is the policy. Get it? Meaning that he's not going to allow the market or other externalities to change his position on this. The only thing that's going to change his position on this is these countries coming to the table and making a good deal with the United States of America that results in freer, fairer trade with trade barriers gone and less tariffs, and everybody wins in that sense. Otherwise, this is the policy, and then these countries are going to hurt from these policies. And yeah, we could hurt too, but let's hope it doesn't get to that point. Let's hope these countries believe that this policy is going to stay. If they think that Trump is going to back down because of pressure or because of Elon Musk or because of the market, then they're more likely to just hedge their bets and say, well, we're just going to buy time because you're going to back down. And then this whole thing was just an exercise in futility. So my guess is that that's what's playing out here. My guess is that that's how this is all playing out. And in the end, it's going to work out to everybody's best interest. Now, you could say I'm just being an optimist, but I am an optimistic person by nature. But I also do believe that that's what's going to happen. And I don't think it's a problem that Elon Musk and Peter Navarro are fighting. I think it's good. I think it's good that we are having this conversation. I think it's healthy and it's important to have these conversations. And the fact that Elon can go out there and disagree with Peter Navarro is a good thing for the Republic. It's a good thing for the administration. It's a good thing for the country. And we should not want to kill Elon Musk. If you disagree with Elon Musk, that's fine. But I'm sure you appreciate him on Doge. If you agree with Elon Musk on this, then it's a win-win for you. But take Rand Paul, for example. If you agree with Rand Paul on stopping the war in Ukraine and stopping endless wars and cutting off foreign aid to all these countries, you can't then turn around and say, kill Rand Paul because he's on the other side of the tariff argument with the president. Because thank God Rand Paul's there, because Rand Paul led the charge to cut off foreign spending under Doge, which several Republicans did not go along with. It's okay to have disagreements. It's healthy to have disagreements. It's important to have disagreements. What's not healthy, in my opinion, is this tendency, and I see it on social media a lot, to be like, ah, that person's dead to me. Stop. Stop. And I hope that that's people just blowing off steam. First of all, a senator being disloyal to the president, senators are not supposed to be loyal to the president. They are an entirely different branch of government. Even if they're in the same political party, they are not supposed to be loyal to the president. He's not a king. So you can't be disloyal to him. Your job is not to be loyal to him. Your job is to be loyal to your state, to the people that sent you there from your state, and to the Constitution. That's it. You're not loyal to anybody else. Unless you work for the guy. If you work for the guy, that's a different story. Then you got to be loyal to him. But, you know, I see people are like, Rand Paul's being disloyal. Good. He's a senator. He should be disloyal. Senators should be disloyal to the executive, because that's how a healthy republic works. It's how a healthy republic functions. Even if you're in the same political party, okay, it's not blind allegiance. The founders were very clear on this. It's why we have separate, distinct branches of government. It's why the founders warned against political parties and didn't like them in the first place, because they were worried that that loyalty to a party would somehow override the Constitution or something else. So I'm making that point because you probably agree with Rand Paul. If you disagree with him on the tariffs, you probably agree with him 95% of the time on all the other things. And I think it's the same with Chip Roy or Tom Massey or whoever else. And we have these conversations quite a bit where people are like, they're dead to me. I hate them. It's like, stop. Okay, we need more principled people in there who are willing to fight and fight for what they believe is right. Because they're right on the issues 95% of the time. The Constitution is their guiding light. And as long as the Constitution is their guiding light, I'm okay with them disagreeing with President Trump. It's okay. The Republic will endure. The Republic won't endure, though, if you have no principled people who are willing to stand up for what they believe in. And that is the Constitution. If you don't have people that are principled enough to stand for the Constitution, then when the winds of faction blow in a certain direction, that's when you get Republicans siding on board with things like, well, invading Iraq, you know, and the other things that happen, or endless money to Ukraine. Look, there was a time when the Republican Party was all in on this idea of the United States being the world's police department and invading countries and also sending just oodles and oodles of cash to places like Ukraine with no end in sight. And it's only because of principled people like Rand Paul and others that said no to that stuff, Ron Paul back in the day, that now the Republican Party, for the most part, is all in on that stuff. But there was a time when they were the outliers and they were accused of being disloyal to President George W. Bush. The point is very simple. When 2016 was happening and I had the conversation with Donald Trump, I may or may not have had a conversation with him regarding Rand Paul. And I said, look, you guys agree more than you disagree. You guys both share this idea that the United States of America should not be the world's police department and we should stop these endless wars. You should embrace Rand Paul and his people, and they should all come to you and vote for you when Rand Paul gets out of the race. And that's what happened. And that's a good thing. And they golf together a lot. And yeah, Rand Paul is never, ever, ever going to back down on any position he firmly believes in. And that's good. That's okay. Just like President Trump's not going to back down on things he firmly believes in. That's good. That's okay. We want principled people in there. We don't want people who just, you know, stick their thumb in the air and feel whatever breeze is blowing and then go in that direction. That's how you get things like endless wars. That's how you get things like the mass surveillance state, the spying on the American people. There was a time when I could play you a montage of so-called conservative talk radio hosts back in the day advocating for the United States government to be spying on the American people. Like, what, do you want to get blown up by a terrorist? So no, you need principled people. That's healthy. That's what needs to happen. And if there's disagreement, well, boys will be boys. We have that clip of Caroline Leavitt. I don't know which one it is. I have like 572 cuts today. You know which one it is offhand?
Yeah, it's 37.
37. I have... how many? 37 clips in my formerly dire wolf stained fingers. What the hell are we doing bringing back an extinct species, Matt DeSantis?
I think it's awesome. I want more extinct species. I want to see like a Jurassic Park.
Yeah, why not? What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong, right?
Well, I didn't say I wanted to go there. I just like to see it from a distance.
And talk to me about this remedial class at Harvard that they're offering now. Remedial classes at Harvard.
I don't know anything about that. What is
that? Yeah, exactly, because you're a remedial producer. Look up the story. It was on Fox News today. I think you're purposely not talking about it because you don't want to acknowledge that your school, an Ivy League school, has remedial classes now.
I'll have to investigate. I'll have to investigate.
All right. All right. I think I looked at all the stories, and I noticed that one was conveniently not there today. Conveniently missing. Yeah, I think you did that on purpose. That's my theory. We'll see if I'm right about that. It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. We'll have a committee review it, I promise. Here's Caroline Leavitt today responding to the question about Elon Musk and Peter Navarro. Cut 37.
There's been some public sparring between Elon Musk and the president's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, on some of these tariffs. Musk actually referred to Navarro today as being, quote, dumber than a sack of bricks. Are you at all, or is the administration, the president, all concerned that this is maybe impacting the public's understanding of these tariffs? It might be messing with the message on it?
No, look, these are obviously two individuals who have very different views on trade and on tariffs. Boys will be boys, and we will let their public sparring continue. And you guys should all be very grateful that we have the most transparent administration in history. And I think it also speaks to the president's willingness to hear from all sides, that he has people at the highest levels of this government in this White House who have very diverse opinions on very diverse issues. But the president takes all opinions in mind, and then he makes the best decision based on the best interests of the American public. Deanna.
I agree. I think it's very important. It's very healthy, too. What else did Caroline Leavitt have to say today? She said a lot, including the fact that the tariffs on China are here to stay and not going away. So the market did not like that. But all in all, the market is not crashing like Jim Cramer warned about. But my favorite clip of the day today is Morning Joe this morning. Joe Scarborough. I love this clip so much. And I'm going to play it as soon as we get back. I may make this my ringtone. That's how much I love this clip. You'll understand exactly what I mean when we get back. But the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Have you seen a dentist yet this year? If not, why not? It's April. Your dental health is very crucial. So make an appointment today to see Dr. Mike by going to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. And protesters, weird ones, have no idea what they're actually protesting about against President Donald Trump. And why are we bringing back extinct species? All that and more. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Somebody made the comment that I should probably work out because I have no muscles. So then I started, you know, wearing bulky sweaters. But I think it might have been Bongino who started the T-shirt trend on radio. Do you think so?
I think so. I think like it seems like the average conservative talk host outfit is a white T-shirt with something patriotic on it and a hat with whichever brand is sponsoring them that week. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems to be to me whenever I watch anything or listen to anything conservative leaning.
Yeah, I should probably get something. I should probably be wearing something that somebody could pay me to wear in some sort of capacity, like a billboard. I'll be a human billboard, basically, is what I'm saying. Sell my body. I mean, I've sold my body before. What am I saying? Anyway. Hey, Matt DeSantis, Susan Crabtree's coming on the show later. We should ask her about this second assassination attempt on President Trump. She's always on top of all that stuff. This Brandon Routh guy. No relation to Brandon Roth. What's that?
Yeah, actually, I spoke with her earlier today, and that is one of the topics I told her we would hit.
Wonderful. And she'll be on Zoom?
She will be on Zoom, and Dr. Wilfred Riley will be on Zoom again this week. I think everyone loved seeing him last week for the first time. That was awesome.
I agree. Well done. That was excellent. And I'll tell you, if he comes to the Grand Hotel at Cape May for a live show, that's going to be a lot of fun at some point. So hopefully we can make that happen, too.
He says he's coming before the end of the summer to one of the summer broadcasts. I don't know if it'll be June. The other one's in August, right?
Yeah, so it's June 20th and then August 15th.
Yeah, he says he's going to be to one of them, but
why don't we genetically engineer the megalodon shark and bring back a megalodon shark? Why don't we do that? That's extinct. Kill us all in Cape May. That could be fun.
Just invite Jason Statham to the broadcast and we'll all be safe.
His new movie, Working Man, is killing it. You see that? Killing it. Making money left and right. Yeah, that's because it's a movie that's a MAGA movie. It's all about, he goes after human trafficking. Telling you, there's a market for this MAGA stuff. I got to write my movie, Cocaine White House Dogs. It's a trilogy. So let's play Joe Scarborough, shall we? This is the greatest. Him starting his show this morning, and we'll play it once, and then I want to discuss it, and then I want to play it again. But here we go. Take a listen.
Headlines, New York Times talking about the trade war escalating and market turmoil spreading across the world. Wall Street Journal. I will say, Mika, fortunately, overnight, Asia rebounded pretty strongly. Europe's looking pretty good. Futures also looking strong right now for the United States.
Has anyone ever heard a man in a more uncomfortable position since Alec Baldwin was dressed down by his wife, Hillary Baldwin, when she said, I'm not talking. When I'm talking, you're not talking. When I'm talking, you're not talking. But at least Baldwin just kind of walked away and, you know, back to be his old cuck self. But Joe Scarborough right there, that was awkward. So let's play it again. Can somebody count the number of times he says the word and do we want to make this a drinking game? I think the answer is yes. Go ahead.
Headlines, New York Times talking about the trade war escalating and market turmoil spreading across the world. Wall Street Journal. I will say, Mika, fortunately, overnight, Asia rebounded pretty strongly. Europe's looking pretty good. Futures also looking strong right now for the United States.
Ooh, did you count the ums, Justin? The uhs, ooh, ah?
I counted 9 uhs or adjacent.
Or adjacent. Oh, I like that. That's a good breakdown, too. An adjacent. DeSantis, can you count?
I can count. Unlike some, I actually did take math courses while at Harvard.
The remedial kind or no? Not that.
No, they were actual math classes. Oh, I don't know if I should even share this, but there are some people that I do know that managed to graduate without taking math. I don't know if they actively avoided math and science to the point where they never had to take one, but I know their participation was pretty minimal and they graduated.
All right. Well, there you go. How many did you count?
The uhs?
Yeah.
I wasn't counting. I left Justin
to that. It was shocked by that. That's amazing. amazing. We're all shocked. Fine. Justin, thank you for, you know, doing the job of a producer and actually engaging in this in the bit. We appreciate that very
Somebody's
much.
Somebody's got to do it around
I'm
here.
I'm sorry. I went to Harvard. I'm not good at math.
No, clearly not. Obviously not. All right. Well, that I love that clip. That might be my new ringtone. Can we hear it one more time, please? Just one more time. One more time.
Headlines, New York Times, talking about the trade war escalating and market turmoil spreading across the world. Wall Street Journal. I will say, Mika, fortunately, overnight, Asia rebounded pretty strongly. Europe's looking pretty good. Futures also looking strong right now for the United States.
Yeah. I don't know how that show's still on the air. I really don't. I can't figure it out. I have no idea how it's still on the air. Caroline Leavitt today at the White House press briefing, doubling down on a number of different things for you. Look, the key with the Supreme Court ruling yesterday on the Alien Enemies Act is this, and this is what you need to know. The president is smart. He's doing it the right way. Go through the legal process. Go through the appeals process. You're going to win at the Supreme Court, and you're going to expose an out-of-control judiciary versus ignoring the courts, and then you become the problem. You become the guy who has no respect for the Constitution. Right now, it's the judges who have no respect for the Constitution, no respect for the rule of law, no respect for the separation of powers and the three different branches of government. The minute that the president, any president, chooses to ignore the court, like Biden did, then what you do at that point is now you open yourself up to criticism of being somebody who does not respect the Constitution. So we don't want that to happen. And by playing it this way, the president's been very smart on this. By playing it this way now, the judges are the problem. They are the bad guys in this. The American people see it. Congress sees it. The high court sees it. You even have Ketanji Brown Jackson questioning whether or not it's okay for a judge to issue a nationwide injunction. That's a big deal. That's a big win right there that you have this conversation even happening right now. And that's good because that's the way we can rein in these judges once and for all. We're now having a conversation we have not had. When was the last time you can remember having a conversation about out of control judges and reigning in the judiciary? Last time I remember that conversation was when Mark Levin's book, The Great One's book, Men in Black, came out in 2005. But that was mostly focused on the high court and all their ridiculous opinions. But we never really gave a lot of credence to the lower court rulings because that's where most of the action is. Most of the action occurs on the lower court. 60,000 cases a year they hear. Very few of them actually reach the Supreme Court of the United States. And then another win today by the president of the United States before the Supreme Court. Well, the United States, the executive branch anyway. Here's Dana Bash and Paula Reed reporting that breaking news just before he came on the air today. Cut number one.
We start, though, with breaking news at the Supreme Court. It just handed President Trump another win, allowing his administration to fire hundreds of probationary federal workers. I want to get straight to Paula Reed, who was looking through the decision. Paula, what did they say?
So, Dana, this is a significant win for the administration. The fourth one they have notched from the Supreme Court in just the past few days. Here, this decision is focused on thousands of fired probationary federal workers. Now, this decision will allow the government to keep those individuals off the payroll while the larger questions about these firings are litigated. Now, this was decided not on a constitutional issue or really on the merits. It was decided on something called standing, which is whether the individuals who brought this lawsuit had the right to do so. And here the court says that the 9 nonprofit organizations did not have standing in this case. So, again, this is sort of a technical win, but it is still a win for the administration, though it's unclear how this will apply to all fired probationary workers, because a separate judge in Maryland earlier this month ordered a pause and a reinstatement of some employees that are not covered by this case. But I do want to say, Dana, the Justice Department, the Trump administration, they've been waiting for a while for good news from the courts after a string of losses, and they have been getting a lot of good news from the high court over the past few days.
There you go. A lot of wins, and that's good. Excellent news right there. If you ask me, that's really good. Here's Caroline Leavitt discussing the SCOTUS decision last night with Jesse Waters on his show on Fox News, cut number 3.
This is a massive legal victory, Jesse, a massive victory for law and order and for our constitutional republic and the sovereignty of the United States of America. We called on the Supreme Court to rein in these activist judges like Judge Boasberg, who was completely out of line in trying to say that the president didn't have the executive authority to deport foreign terrorists off of our soil. We have always maintained the position at the White House that the president was well within his constitutional authority to do so. And this decision proves that President Trump and our administration have always been right from the beginning. He will continue to utilize the Alien Enemies Act to remove foreign terrorists and Tren de Aragua members, vicious gang members from American communities. And because of this ruling, the United States of America is a much safer place. Our team will get to work tomorrow to deport these heinous, violent foreign terrorists from our neighborhoods.
There you go. There you go. And I'm happy about this. I really am. It's a great win. And this is the way to do it. You do it through the courts. You do it through the process. You respect the Constitution. You respect the rule of law. And you highlight how these judges do not. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here today. Beautiful outside. The sunshine. My lawn. I was admiring my lawn. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's green. It's lush. It's thick. I'd pat myself on the back, but I had literally nothing to do with it. Natural Lawn of America, they get the credit because for years they've been taking care of my lawn and doing a great job in two different houses. So our old house we used them in, our old town, and this house now, and the lawn is beautiful. And there are no weeds. I was checking it out today. I'm looking around. There's no weeds, beautiful, lush, thick green lawn. And that's what Natural Lawn of America will do for you. They will deliver that to you, and they'll seed your lawn for free every year. You know, when they came last November and they did the overseeding, and you see it now in the spring. You see what a difference that makes. It's just so lush and thick. And the Natural Lawn of America difference, not only they have local family-owned company, they don't just come around and just spray chemicals and leave. They use a safer approach to lawn care from organic fertilizers and insect control, weed control that results in a safer lawn, safer for your kids, safer for your pets with guaranteed results and that overseeding of your lawn for free with their full service package every year. Just call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. You deserve to have a beautiful looking lawn. And look, let's face it, it's a lot of work to do it yourself. And if you're not an expert in this, you're not factoring in all kinds of different things from the sunshine to the soil to the moisture. They factor in all of that for you and come up with a comprehensive plan specific to your lawn. That's the Natural Lawn of America difference. 1-800-FREE-SEED.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There's some good news regarding how close we are to making some real concrete trade deals here. And this makes me very, very happy. The president is saying that the European Union must buy $350 billion of U.S. energy to get tariff relief. The European Union's zero-for-zero tariff offer is not enough, he says, but he's open to a deal if the bloc commits to closing the trade deficit in goods. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, now has the green light to negotiate an end to tariffs with Japanese Prime Minister Ishiba, and this is real progress. Now, let's think about the European Union, you save what, $350 billion of U.S. energy. Why aren't they buying our energy when they're buying it from Vladimir Putin? I mean, think about the absurdity of this. In 2024 alone, these European countries gave Vladimir Putin $1 trillion. $1 trillion with a T for his oil and natural gas. Okay? But at the same time, they were supposedly helping their buddy Ukraine. That's like a guy who takes you out and gets you drunk to distract you from the fact that he's cheating. He's sleeping with your wife. I mean, what is that? What's that? What is that? It's like, Ukraine, here you go, Ukraine. Here's $5. Go get yourself something nice. Hey, Putin, here's $1 trillion. So they should be buying our energy. That's if they need it. And they're going to buy it from somewhere because they've made stupid decisions on energy, Germany in particular. Well, then stop buying it from Putin. Buy it from the United States of America. You don't hear that in the corporate media because they want Trump to be seen as some sort of a Russian agent. But you all remember the time that he stared down Angela Merkel and said to her, "What are you doing? This is insane. You are helping Russia. You are helping Vladimir Putin with your energy policies. What are you doing?" And sure enough, he was right. And they are. And they have been. So this entire time that we've been sitting here talking about Ukraine and debating whether or not we should, how much money we should send them and for how long, this entire time, Vladimir Putin's getting richer as Europe is buying his oil and natural gas. This means then the United States of America should be exporting our liquid natural gas to Europe. It also means, and this is a very, very key point here, Energy Secretary Chris Wright was saying how we are taking oil and natural gas and we are going to leave them out of the tariff conversation too. Which is good. This is Energy Secretary Chris Wright talking about this now. Cut number 15. He was on Money Movers today. Take a listen.
What about the tariffs themselves? I know Canada and Mexico were sort of spared on the energy side, USMCA compliant, but China tariffing energy, like, do you see a big impact to the industry as a result of the higher tariff rates going back and forth?
Well, two things there. Number one, from the Trump administration, no tariffs on energy across the board. I think that's central. Energy is the infrastructure that enables everything else in our economy. And two big points on why President Trump's, what's the goals of his tariff policies? Sometimes we lose sight of the forest for the trees here. Two goals. One is to grow American exports abroad. Our trading partners often have more barriers to American products coming into their markets than their products coming into our markets. President Trump wants to open up markets abroad to grow American exports. These negotiations are set towards that end. And the second end is to reindustrialize our country. We've simply, over the last 20 years and several administrations, had more and more of our industry, our energy-intensive manufacturing, go overseas. President Trump is passionate about reindustrializing America, bringing those jobs in towns across America, rural America as well.
The energy issue is key. Look, we can be the world supplier of liquid natural gas, no doubt about it. He also said today that we have to get more coal plants online. New Jersey, you're about to get hit. We are about to get hit with a massive energy hike this summer. It's coming in 2 months. Anywhere from, I think it's 18 to 25%, depending on if you're residential or you are a business. And everybody's pointing fingers. Nobody wants to accept blame for this. I put the blame squarely on the Democrats with their stupid energy policies and shutting down coal plants in New Jersey. That we do not have the ability to manufacture and make enough power in New Jersey. So we have to buy it out of state and they got to bring the energy in. That's expensive. And that's literally what's happening right now. That's what's happening. Stupid Democrat green policies resulting in all of us paying more this summer. It's a gift to whoever the Republican nominee is for governor running this November. It's a gift. But we're all going to get screwed by this. And Europe is getting screwed by their own stupid energy policies. But Putin's getting rich. So what we need to do in this country is get those coal plants back online. Stop with this phony climate change hysteria. We need to reinvest in liquid natural gas exporting, which the Biden administration put in so many barriers to, including the fact that you cannot export liquid natural gas on a train, which is stupid. We need to set up a liquid natural gas export facility outside of Philadelphia, expand the one in New Jersey, make these things big, export our liquid natural gas to the world. We, in this area of the country, we can beat the rest of the country in terms of this race, because our position strategically close to Europe means they can get our natural gas faster. That's a big win for Pennsylvania, big win for New Jersey. New York's stupid. They put in a moratorium on liquid natural gas. Another dumb, stupid Democrat energy plan. Nonsensical. These people are morons. They really are. They're idiots. They're idiots. And because America went through this, I don't know why. This is why I don't celebrate Earth Day. Not only was it created by a murderer. It was. The guy chopped up his girlfriend hit in Philadelphia. Chopped up his girlfriend, hid the body in his freaking closet. He's a psychopath. The whole movement's crazy. The whole movement is wrong. The whole movement is based on socialism, but it's just wrong. And I am not going to sit here and pretend like the earth is warming because of mankind, humankind, and then embrace all these ridiculous climate scams that make people rich, but make consumers poor, and then businesses go out of business. I'm not doing it. It's a joke. Solar and wind, it's all a joke. And the way that the energy formula is calculated, where you got to have a certain amount of solar to offset your carbon emissions and all this nonsense, it needs to end. Coal plants need to be back online. We need to be reinvesting in nuclear. We need to be reinvesting in these small nuclear plants, hydrogen. And we also need to be exporting liquid natural gas. And yeah, for Europe, $350 billion, for the EU to buy $350 billion of our liquid natural gas is nothing. That is peanuts. They need way more than that. They need way more than that for the entire European Union. They gave Putin $1 trillion. I'm no math guy, but last time I checked, a trillion is greater than 350 billion. So if that's what it takes, and then we can create this tariff-free zone between Europe and the United States, great. Everybody wins except for Putin. And that means then that China doesn't win, and that means that Iran doesn't win, because they're all buddies. They're all buddies. And if we can sell more of our oil overseas, and we can be dominant in that, and we can stop this nonsense of saying we're not going to explore and drill here, we're not going to explore and drill here. No, no, no. We're going to explore and drill freaking everywhere. We're going to do those things, and we're going to find the oil and find the natural gas, and then we're going to use it, and we're going to export it, and we're going to be energy independent, and we're also going to sell it to the world. Great. Everybody wins, except for crazy people. Crazy people don't win. The dictator of Venezuela, Maduro, the crazy people in Iran, the crazy people in other Middle Eastern countries. Oh, they'll do fine. Don't get me wrong. They'll be okay. Putin will be okay. We're not going to bankrupt the guy, if that's what you're hoping for. But if they have to buy from somebody, buy from us. If we have to buy from somebody, it should be ourselves. We shouldn't be buying from people like Maduro. We should be pumping that energy ourselves. This is not that complicated. But we have made a lot of very bad decisions under the hysteria of climate change. You know, because when people make emotional decisions, they make bad decisions. When you are guided by emotion, you make bad decisions. And so when you listen to companies with their corporate green climate nonsense, I saw the other day a beer can from some local brewery. And they said this beer was brewed with solar. I said, who cares? What does that mean? Wait, the solar, what does that even mean? What does that mean? You brewed it with solar. So what, you use solar panels? And then we're converted to energy to go back into the grid. Well, whoop-de-freaking-do. What is that? But you see, now there's a whole bunch of people out there that think that somehow helps with the problem, so they buy that beer. Oh, this was made with solar panels. Dopey policies that have gotten us into this position, but have enabled people in the world who are dangerous actors, who have agendas counter to the United States of America, have gotten rich. Gotten rich off of other people's stupidity. And the other thing, you know, this, by the way, this Uncharted book, you know, the story I'm seeing on the Chiron and Fox News, ex-aide says Biden was out of it before the debate. The president excused himself and went to sit by the pool during debate prep. and we're working on getting that author on the show. This absolutely 100% confirms my theory. Hey, Road Warrior, I got a theory for you. Tell me if you've heard this one before. The debate was a setup to get Joe Biden out of the race. They knew how bad he was. They knew how bad he was at debate prep. And they knew it was going to be a disaster. It wasn't a cold. It wasn't a boat propeller. This was no boating accident. And it wasn't Jack the Ripper. It was a shark. It wasn't a cold. It wasn't coronavirus. He was out of his mind. They knew it. And the debate in June was a setup to show the world, to get him out of the race in time to make a swap at the convention late enough in the race where they couldn't have to worry, didn't have to worry about an open primary so they can control the process. But they couldn't figure out the Kamala Harris problem. So the fact that the chief of staff and the people on his debate prep knew how bad he was before that debate and didn't pull the kill switch confirms my entire theory. I am vindicated, and you're vindicated, most importantly. The Zioli army is vindicated. Because once again, one of my predictions has come true. Once again, one of my stellar predictions proven true. And I said that on Fox News to Mike Emanuel the Monday before the debate. I said, and I quote myself, "Mike, why are we doing a debate in June, Mike? I just got three kids to summer camp, and it wasn't easy. I even managed to put on a tie. Is this debate a setup to get him out of the race so they can make a swap in August?" Yes. The answer is yes. I'm answering my own question right there. All right. 855-839-1210. My friend Susan Crabtree is going to be calling in the show in just a second, but I wanted to share this with you as well as we discuss all of these things and we continue to go through all of the news of the day. I just want to share back to you last Friday. Friday, I was with some buddies, good friends of mine, and we were having some snacks, delicious snacks, some beer brewed with solar panels, and I'm looking up at the TV. I said, "Guys, put on CNBC for a moment." And I'm looking at the TV, and there's Jim Cramer predicting the end of the world, the end of the freaking world, saying it was going to be Black Monday all over again, which makes everybody nervous. And some people are emotional eaters, and they wind up eating more snacks. Not me, though. I'm not an emotional guy. I mean, I'm emotional. I'm sensitive. I have feelings. But I don't guide my decisions on emotions. Has Jim Cramer been right about anything? Ever? Ever. Honestly, ever. Here's a flashback to Friday. Now, look, the market's in the red, but we're not crashing. This is not 1987. Market was green all day. It's red now. It may close green. It may close red. Who the hell knows? Tomorrow may be a great day. Tomorrow may be an okay day. Maybe a bad day. I don't, but it's not going to be this. This is from Friday, all the way back, the way back machine on Friday, cut 22.
If the president doesn't try to reach out and board these countries and companies that play by the rules in the 1987 scenario, the one where we went down 3 days and then down 22% on Monday, has the most cogency. We will not have to wait out too long, will we? We'll know by Monday. Fortunately, we had an excellent set of employment numbers today. At least it makes it less likely a crash will necessarily lead to a recession. But if President Trump stays intransigent and does nothing to ameliorate the damage that I saw these last 2 days, I'm not going to be constructive here. I will contain my anger, but only because I lived through 87, and in the end, I came out okay. I was in cash for the crash. I know what this feels like. Oh, and if Europe moves against our fabulous tech companies next week, then I will be furious. That I promise you, because it should not happen.
It should not happen. Black Monday's coming. Black Monday. Eat up on the Triscuits, kids, because Black Monday's coming. Susan Crabtree's coming with some breaking news. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.